The 3rd of December, a lot to get through. Tons of games, tons of action, a few injuries, some returns. This is the Tuesday post-game show. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. I don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I am Adam King. Find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at AdamKing91. We are on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube. Please go and subscribe and everything. Old Man Squad, we are part of that. I'm old at Old Man Squad on Twitter. Going to get straight into it today. The show is a bit late. Unforeseen time-wasting experience at the optometrist. Fair to say I'm pretty pissed off. But here we are, not with basketball and not with people watching and listening, just with some lack of common sense in the community. Let's start with the first game. Washington and Cleveland. Easy win for the Cavs. Could have seen this coming. Washington are trash. I could be pretty blunt on this episode. Maybe that's a good thing. I could be honest. I thought Saar would have a rough night, given that Valanciunas would likely start. He wasn't awesome, but he was pretty good. 10-9, two blocks, a steal, much better than that last game. Valanciunas only played 19 minutes, so basically what he was doing off the bench. Both are worth rostering. Brogdon, surprise, surprise, went down with a knee injury. We have no idea if this is bad, how bad. Could be nothing. Could just be that he needed to go to the toilet, didn't want to come back. Hold Brogdon and just see. As long as he's playing, he's must roster. If he's out for more than sort of a game or two here, I would just move on from him. Koulibaly, he had two steals, but the shot's still not falling. If you need steals, I would hold him. If you don't, I would be okay with moving on. Bob Carrington would be the guy we would add here if Brogdon is ruled out. He only had 13, 7, and 2, but he did play 36 minutes. So that's what we are looking at there. For Cleveland, nothing really. I mean, it was an easy win. Minutes were up for the bench guys. Production from the starters was modest. Darius Garland did leave this one with a head injury, which is a little bit concerning. He had two head injuries last season, or maybe one was a neck injury. Anyway, he missed time because of an above-the-shoulders injury, whatever that was. So I wouldn't be surprised if maybe he misses a game or two here. Hopefully it's nothing too bad. If he is out, it would be Ty Jerome, but he was out tonight. But Ty Jerome would maybe be someone we'd look at, as well as Caris LeVert, who played 24 minutes tonight and didn't really do a lot. Caris is fine as a back-end streaming kind of ad. Bucks and Detroit, another pretty comfortable win here. The Bucks get the chocolates, 128 to 107 over a hapless Detroit Pistons. For the Bucks, they're certainly looking better of late. Giannis, Dame, fine. Brook Lopez. Again, this is the worry. He gets defensive stats. That's pretty consistent, but the offense is way up and way down. 5 points here, and he doesn't get enough rebounds to sort of raise that floor. So it's really defensive specialist with some offensive upside. Gary Trent even popped off for 16 off the bench. He's just a streamer, much like AJ Green, who had three threes in his 22 minutes. Prince, he's up and down, but generally speaking, he is not someone we need to be prioritizing. For the Pistons, Cade Cunningham was okay. Didn't shoot the ball a lot, only 9 of 16, but he had 23 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists and a steal. So fairly decent line for him given the scoreline here. Tobias Harris looked a bit better, 16 and 5 with 3 steals and a block. I talked about him on the pregame show as a guy we probably want to be holding. Malik Beasley, finally, he's cooled off 4 points. I'm okay with moving on from him because, as we saw here, if he's not hitting his shots, they just won't play him. Tim Hardaway played 29 minutes and had 15 points. Earlier in the season, they were just alternating good and bad games, and then Hardaway got injured, so Beasley got a bit of momentum. Maybe that's the end of his momentum for a while. If you want to hold him for one more game and see if he can get back on track, that seems fair. Asar Thompson, only 14 minutes, 8 and 5. Again, stash if you can, but I'm okay with moving on there, I think. And Jalen Duren, he actually played quite well. He had 11 and 6 with 3 blocks and a steal in 20 minutes. He had early foul trouble, and then, as they do, the coaches just don't play guys. They don't let them play through fouls. And it didn't matter here at all because they got smashed. So why wouldn't you just roll him out and see if he gets fouled off? And it's not even like they're playing him 30 minutes. So if he fouls out in 20 minutes, who cares? You're only playing him for 20 minutes most nights anyway. So another stupid coaching decision. And then Isaiah Stewart played 20 minutes and did nothing as well. And this is why it was tough to sort of proclaim him as this must roster guy early, because we know he's not that good. In terms of production, he is a defensive bother, but doesn't translate into fantasy value all the time. Anyway, enough whinging about the Pistons. On to the next game, Philly and Charlotte. Of course, no Embiid. We're used to that now, and he is doubtful for their next game, which is tomorrow, I think, as is Paul George. Paul George was very good in this one, 29 points, 8 assists. They probably should have just let him shoot the ball a lot more because he was by far their best player. But yes, he is doubtful for tomorrow. Yabusele continues to sort of do just enough, 7 and 12 with a steal and a block. As long as Embiid and Drummond are out, he is a must roster player. KJ Martin started again. Not really interested in him. Or Oubre. Oubre did have 14 points, but he had like 10 or 12 of those really early and then did nothing else. So not super interested in him. McCain, 17 minutes off the bench, 2 steals, looks good, but 22 minutes is a little bit underwhelming. Still someone I think we need to roster. And Maxey sort of salvaged a pretty ordinary night. He got to the line a lot down the stretch, ended up with 21 points, 7 assists, but 5 of 16 from the field. Not ideal for the Hornets. Nick Richards started. Mark Williams did, in fact, return, so it did happen. Let's start with Mark Williams. He played 9 minutes. He was on a very strict minutes restriction here, which we knew was going to be the case. So he played 9 minutes, all of which came in the first half. He was a bit rusty, to be fair. He had 4 and 3 with a block. I think he's someone we need to roster, but he's not necessarily someone we need to activate. If you can just keep him in that IR spot, I doubt he plays back-to-backs. He's going to be pretty limited, so I'm just leaving him in my IR spot wherever I can. But Nick Richards, we're rostering him. He had 22 and 14 with a steal and a block. And honestly, could have had more. A couple of the shots he missed were bunnies right at the basket. So, he looks good. And so Musa Diabate only played 10 minutes in the second half. That will, based on what we saw here, I'm thinking that will just evaporate. We can move on from Diabate. He could still be a stream when Mark Williams rests or is load managed or whatever. But most nights, no interest there. Brandon Miller was very good in this one. Josh Green was not. That offensive streak that he had came to an end. 0 points. We don't need to be rostering him. Salu had 10 and 10. The minutes are okay. He's fine. I guess he's a little bit like Reece Ishay. He's sort of starting, playing a decent role, but doesn't usually do enough to make him a must-roster player. And Vasily Micic, I still think he's a must-roster player at the moment. He only had 5 points with 2 assists and a steal in 19 minutes. They went with KJ Simpson a lot here down the stretch. He honestly, I mean, it makes sense to play him over Micic because he is young and he is someone they want to turn into something. I don't know if it's going to happen, but it was encouraging. So if you've got Micic, I would hold. If Simpson is available, I would go and pick him up in 16s, yes. 14s, probably. 12s, maybe. maybe just to see. Because if I think if he's getting 25 to 28 minutes a night, there might be just enough there for him to be worth rostering. Orlando and New York, easy win for the Knicks, 121-126, and that's pretty flattering for Orlando, to be honest. They were just, I think they were down by about 30 at one point. Wagner was still very good. Tristan Da Silva started with Goga Bitadze out with an ankle sprain, which was a very late scratch. Da Silva, we know we don't need him. Wendell Carter was poo in this one, 2 points, 7 rebounds. I think we hold him. It was a bad game. He'll be better than this. He has been better than this. Suggs played a lot of minutes and was fine as well. KCP, we knew that the shooting would come back a little bit. He shot 3 of 7 for 9 points with three rebounds and nothing else. So this is why he was not a must-hold player. If you did stream him in, you can move on. Mo Wagner, obviously someone had to step up with no Goga here. It was Mo. He had 20 and 12 with 2 steals and a block. If Goga misses time, maybe Mo Wagner is someone we want to look at here. Jonathan Isaac, in theory, should have got a bump, but he didn't. He only played 13 minutes, no foul trouble. So I think we're okay to just let him go back to the waivers and add him at some point if we need to. For the Knicks, it was a comfortable win here. They still played their guys' minutes because it's Tom Thibodeau. But the production was, Cat was good. OG finally remembered how to shoot the ball. He ended up with 18 points. Not much else, 2 blocks, but the efficiency was back, which was nice to see. Josh Hart, they just rolled him out there till he got his triple-double, basically. He ended with 11 points, 13 rebounds, 10 assists. He's been really good this season. Mikal Bridges, 19 and 5. McBride had 18 off the bench. He's still the only one I'm interested in there for streaming purposes. Got a couple of questions. I'll get to them shortly. Indiana at Toronto. So we were watching Haliburton to see what he did or what he did away from Indianapolis, and he had a good game. 30 points, 6 assists, a steal, 10 of 16 from the field. Unfortunately, his teammates were not as good. They lose this one 122-111. Siakam was a pretty bad night for him all around. Offensively, 4 of 13 from the field, 3 of 5 from the line. So, but he's been really good, so we just let this one slide. Nembhard played 19 minutes, he's back in the starting lineup. No thanks. I'm not interested in him. Benedict Mathurin, this is about right. 17 points, a couple of steals, some rebounds. So basically what we're expecting. TJ McConnell, he played 24 minutes. The second half, he played a bit more over Nembhard. He finished with 14, 4, and a steal. I've said if he gets 22-plus minutes, he's probably someone to consider in standard leagues, and this would back that up. Over to Toronto, RJ Barrett continues to be very good. 9 of 12 from the line. It's not terrible, but, for RJ, it's pretty good, actually. He finished with 29 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists. Sorry, as I have a drink. Egbaji, and just enough. He's sort of got a little bit of Tamani Kamara about him. He's doing just enough. He's playing enough minutes. He's sort of finding a way to value. So I'm okay to just hold him for now. Scotty Barnes had a career-high 35 points, 9 assists, 6 rebounds, a steal and a block, and shot the ball very well from the field, 13 of 20. We like to see that. And I don't want anyone on that Toronto bench. Thank you very much. Utah and OKC. Utah didn't really put up much of a fight, which they don't tend to do. But we still ended up with some decent performances. Markkanen didn't take a lot of shots. He had 13 and 6, so not his best game. Walker Kessler, I thought, still looked pretty good. And the minutes are very encouraging. 36 of them here, 17 and 11 with 2 blocks. Keontae George and Colin Sexton have both been pretty good lately. Not not blowing us away, but not terrible. They finished with 16 and 17 points respectively, 5 and 4 assists respectively. So, yeah, they've sort of piggybacked off each other to into solid enough value. John Collins also a pretty good game with 15 and 5 with a block. And then their bench, again, not really anything there jumping out for me. Johnny Juzang had 13 points in 24 minutes, but nothing else. I'm not really looking at anyone there for fantasy value. For the Thunder, Lou Dort, I've said Lou Dort, who Kayson Wallace, Aaron Wiggins, Isaiah Joe. Take your pick. Tonight it was Aaron Wiggins, who had 16 and 4 with 3 steals and a block off the bench. 22 minutes, though. They're all just in this sort of 22 to 26-minute range. Isaiah Joe had 19 points with 5 threes off the bench, so he was a good streaming option. And honestly, you should have looked at the matchup here against Utah. I probably should have mentioned it and said these guys, a couple of them could pop off here. Kayson Wallace, also a pretty good game, 12 points with 3 steals. Shea, don't need to talk about Shea. Hartenstein was a little bit quiet here. They didn't really run with a traditional big lineup. Only 22 minutes. He had 4, 5, and 6. There are the assists that we like from Hartenstein. So 6 of them, they can run the offense through him. He also had 2 steals and a block. So didn't score the ball, didn't really rebound a ton, but got some other stuff. And Jalen Williams just continues to be a first round, very good player. 28 points, 5 assists, 3 steals. 12 of 18 from the field. So good on you, Jalen Williams. Memphis and Dallas. Now, this was a weird one. Memphis, I think, were leading. This is about when I had to head out and do shit. Dallas went on some crazy run, I think. Sorry, I'm just looking at the graph here. So it was 100 and... so the final score was 116 to 121. And if we look at the sort of the timeline here, it was 111 to 110 to Memphis not long left, a couple of minutes. So Dallas went on a 11 or 12 to 3 run or something to close the game. To get the win for Memphis, Jalen Wells, we can move on. Brandon Clark, he's starting, but yeah, not doing enough. Aldama, just keep rolling with him. He's been good. Marcus Smart, he's assists and steals. That's why you've got him. And you try to ignore the fact that he was 0 of 7 from the field. So, yeah, if he fits your build, absolutely hold on to him. Scottie Pippen, we know he is a drop as long as they are healthy. Desmond Bane, watch. He was better. 19 points on 8 of 14 shooting, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal and a block. So he's getting there. He's not all the way back, but I think that buy low opportunity is probably gone. And Ja Morant, very good, 31 points with 4 assists. For Dallas, let's head over to Dallas. Derek Lively did play. Klay Thompson played. Lively was a good run here, 32 minutes, which meant Daniel Gafford only played 16. I'm surprised I haven't had any Gafford questions yet. They will come. Is he a hold? We've said he needs 18 to 20 minutes to be a hold. If he's only going to play 15, 16, he's very borderline. It's going to be tough to hold him. He misses 1 or 2 shots here. This is 8 points, 7 points with 4 rebounds, a steal and a block, which is probably not a 12-team line. Quentin Grimes, we knew he would be a drop with Irving and Doncic both healthy. As for Lively, I mentioned him, he had 17 and 11 with 3 assists and 3 blocks. So, he's rostered. But PJ Washington, 18, 8 and 7 with 2 blocks and a steal, continues to be very PJ Washington-y. Klay Thompson returned, and maybe he shouldn't have. He had 4 points and 3 assists in 20 minutes, 1 of 5 from the field. I do think that he is – he'll be better than this, but I'm not convinced that he's a guy we need to be rostering. And Spencer Dinwiddie, He played well off the bench, 16 points in his 24 minutes. I don't really think we need to hold him. If you wanted to for one more game, go ahead. But I don't think we need to be holding Spencer Dinwiddie. For the Spurs, we had Jeremy Sochan returned off the bench as we thought he would. And who took a hit? Well, Julian Champagne only played 28 minutes, had 9 points. So I think he will trend towards being a drop as expected. Harrison Barnes, I don't think his role will change. Thankfully, they only played him 24 minutes here. He had 2 points and 2 rebounds for those keeping score on 1 of 8 shooting. He's just not very good, but I don't think they're going to take him out of the starting lineup. So we're not rostering him, obviously, but I think Champagne takes a hit. Steph Castle, he was okay. He had 16 points, 3 assists and a steal in his 34 minutes. I do think his minutes will scale back a little bit as Vassell ramps up. As for Vassell, 28 minutes, very encouraging, 25 points, 10 of 14 shooting, 2 steals. So he's looking really good. I think it's only a matter of time before we get him back in the starting lineup. And then it's going to be, where does Jeremy Sochan fit in? I think they probably start him. He had 14 and 12 with 2 assists, a steal and a block. So basically hit the ground running. And I did say this was a hand-thumb injury, so ramp up shouldn't be too long. 4 of 8 from the line hurts. He's not a great free throw shooter, but he's not this bad either, so he will be better. And with them starting to get healthier, we don't need to worry about Keldon Johnson at all. Over to Phoenix, we had Yusuf Nurkic out, but it was not Plumlee who started. It was Iguodaro who had 7 points with 3 rebounds, 2 steals in 28 minutes. And Mason Plumlee had 6 points, 6 rebounds, 4 blocks, 4 blocks from Plumlee. It's going by your lotto ticket if you streamed him in, and a steal in 19 minutes. Look, it's unclear whether this was a matchup kind of thing against Wemby or is it going to stick. If you picked up Plumlee, I would hold him. If you picked up Iguodaro, I'd probably hold him as well. If he's going to play 28 minutes, that's very intriguing. Kevin Durant also left this game with an ankle injury, so that's something to monitor. If he misses time, Royce O'Neal would be the likely replacement. He had 10.6 rebounds and a steal in 30 minutes. So he would be someone to consider, I think, if Durant does miss some time here. And Grayson Allen would probably get a small bump as well. And maybe some more Ryan Dunn. We've seen Ryan Dunn slot in there. Their usage of him has been very weird. He only played 12 minutes here. I'd rather Royce O'Neal over Ryan Dunn. Did that move? No, that didn't move. There we go. Golden State and Denver. For the Warriors, Pajemski remained in the starting lineup. Only 25 minutes, but he had 13, 4 and 4 with 2 steals. They went with Kyle Anderson and Gary Payton a little bit down the stretch here. They were playing well. They were in the rhythm of the game. I'd be holding Pajemski. That's 3 double-digit games, I think, in a row. So hold on to him. Kevon Looney started. This is really just a Jokic kind of a decision. If Looney was going to start and play 25 minutes a night, he is a very good rebound streamer. He had 11 of them here with 2 steals and a block, but I'm not convinced that this is going to stick. Jonathan Kuminga also got the starting nod with Draymond Green out, and he had 19 and 5. He's been all right. If his minutes can hover around this range, but once Draymond's back, we'll have to wait and see. So I'm not convinced that Kuminga will continue to be a must roster player. And Buddy Hield, is he a drop? He might be. 6 points, 3 rebounds, 2 of 8 shooting. There will be a period. We know that there will be a period at some point when he catches fire and he has 3 20-point games in a row, and if you dropped him, you'll go, what the hell, why did I make that move? But does the bad outweigh the good? Maybe. If you want to hold on to him, I'm absolutely fine with that, but I don't have him on my team anywhere. If I did, I'd consider dropping him. It would depend who I was dropping to, or who I'm adding if I were dropping him. For Denver, no real storylines here. Jokic dominated, not surprisingly. Christian Brown, very good. Jamal Murray, average, but fine. But with their starting lineup intact, Peyton Watson, we thought he would trend towards a drop, and he did. 18 minutes, 7 points. We can move on from him. And Russell Westbrook had 7 points with 5 assists. He's just a streamer. I think if you want some rebounds, assists, steals, and you hope that he doesn't ruin your percentages, which he didn't tonight. Wasn't, well, 3 of 7 from the field, but he didn't get to the line, so that's a good thing. Houston and Sacramento. Good win for the Kings. This one was a tight one, 120 to 111. They get the win. For the Rockets, Şengün was ejected late, I believe. I didn't see the end of this game, so I don't know why he was ejected, but it was very close to the end, so I don't think it had an impact on the game. He was all right, 24, 8, and 6 with a steal. Jabari Smith went back to old Jabari Smith, 6 points in his 36 minutes. So they still rolled him out there for whatever reason, but didn't play very well. He had been all right leading into this game, so I'd probably hold. Dylan Brooks, not someone we need to be holding. He fouled out, which impacted his playing time, but 8 points, not much else. He's just not a good fantasy player. And then the two bench guys that we like to talk about, Tari Eason and Amen Thompson. Tonight it was Tari Eason. Amen Thompson was pretty bad in this one, 3 and 6. Just try to just close your eyes, look to the next game. Tari Eason had 16 and 12 with 3 steals. So he was very good. Not efficient at all, 5 of 15 from the field, but everything else was A-OK. For Sacramento, Keegan Murray, another guy that's tough to say he's a must roster. Anyone playing 40 minutes, it's pretty hard to drop them. He had 13 and 7. The 3 blocks sweetened the deal a bit, but he's not, I don't know, he's just not that involved when DeRozan, Sabonis, and Fox are there. And then you throw Monk into that starting lineup, then Keegan Murray is option number 5, I guess, 4 at times, but he's just not high enough on the pecking order when they are fully healthy. So we probably roster him, though. Malik Monk, we definitely roster. He had 17 and 12. There's that assists upside that we saw last year. Kevin Huerter had 13 points off the bench. Now, unless he got in late, I don't think Keon Ellis even played. He did not. So very interesting that Keon Ellis was out of the rotation here. Something to monitor. If I think this was probably just a matchup kind of isolated decision. If he is out of the rotation for whatever reason, Huerter becomes interesting. But if as we expect, Ellis comes back in, then both he and Huerter, they sort of cut into each other's value to the point where neither of them should be rostered. And Jay Crowder, 0 points in 12 minutes. Remember, he was starting. That was fun. Portland and the Clippers. In the last game of the night, easy win for the surprising Clippers this season. Portland, let's start with them. Tamani Kamara, 9, 4, and 1. This isn't a 12-team line. 29 minutes, probably not enough, but I'm going to give him two more games maybe. Simons was not good in this one either, 7 points with 6 assists. Shaden Sharp, look, I mean, if you look down the board here, there's just not a lot to talk about, really. Jeremy Grant, 4 defensive stats, that's the Jeremy Grant of the Denver Jeremy Grant. DeAndre Ayton had 16 points and 3 rebounds. What the hell? Didn't get to the line. That's what we expect from DeAndre Ayton. I didn't roster him. I'm glad I didn't roster him. Denny Avdija, probably the questions will come in around him. 23 minutes, 15 points. 3 assists, 3 rebounds, a steal. It's okay. 23 minutes is not going to be enough, though, for Denny. He's going to need 30 minutes, I think, to be able to put up consistent value. So I think it's probably Grant, Ayton, Simon Sharp are your must-roster players. Kamara is thereabouts. a little bit like Avdija, and then Scoot Henderson, who didn't play in this one, is the other guy we're probably considering from time to time. And for the Clippers, as I said, easy win here. Norm Powell continues to be very good. 11 of 15 from the field for 30 points. Not a lot else. 5 assists are good. You'll take them from Norm Powell. Zubats didn't need to do a lot here. Harden cooled down, but still had 23 points with 7 assists. Chris Dunn gave you 2 steals, which is why you streamed him, added him, whatever you've done with him. But when they're running, when they're pretty healthy, when they're winning like this, there is not very much off the bench. Amir Coffey had 19 points. I'm not interested in that at all. And I think we even saw some Bones Highland and Kai Jones. We did. So that was the state of this game. They were just running with whoever wanted to get out on the court, really. And that's all the games. So we do have a couple of questions. Ernest, who's the waiver wire ad for my punt threes build? Need good percentages and defensive stats. Well, it's not Bub. It's not Keontae. So because they are not good in terms of percentages. Bub's okay for steals, but not great. Herb obviously has that defensive upside. But a lot of his value will come from threes. I mean, if Badadze is not out here for too long, I would say Badadze would be the one I'd be looking at. Given this was a late scratch for Badadze, I don't know if it's something he did in the pregame or whether he did it in the last game and it just maybe he tweaked it pregame. I don't know. There's no word that this is going to be a lengthy absence. So of those 4, I think it would be Goga that I would be going for. And Shining Knight asks, how do you determine whether to add good waiver ads versus end of bench players? It's very different from one team, one build to the next. The end of my bench may give consistency, but waiver wire gives a wildcard performance. Yeah, so I see what you're saying here in that I guess it's maybe the question is, do you, with your last sort of 2 or 3 roster spots, do you just hunt for upside and take flyers on guys and hope that you land 1 or 2 of them? Or do you have someone like a KCP in there or someone who's sort of solid but nothing more than a top 100 player? And everyone has their own opinion on that. It would depend as well where are you sitting in the standings. If you're at the top of the standings, you're probably not using those top 100, top 120 guys. Like, they're not key to you winning. So I would, yeah, if you're pretty comfortable first, second in the standings, I would use those spots to stream, and maybe you land someone who's going to have a month of top 80 value or top 60 value, as opposed to, yeah, like a KCP who might give you a month of top 140 value. But if sort of sitting 7th or 8th and you're sort of battling, I know we're early in the season, then sometimes consistency is better in those situations. So, yes. Okay, so you are at the top of the standing. Yeah, so I would be okay with just taking a flyer on a couple of guys just to see what happens. Like a KJ Simpson, for instance. If you've got someone, a guard, and you think you can move off them and give KJ Simpson, he might have 2 weeks here where he averages 12 points and 8 assists. So, yeah, hopefully that answers the question sort of anyway. All right, that will do for today's show. Again, sorry it was a little bit late. I will be back in the morning, I believe, with a pregame show. I don't know how many games there are tomorrow. Let me just have a look. Probably not as many because we had 11 tonight. Let's have a look. Wednesday, yes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So only 6 games. So, yes, I will be able to squeeze in a pregame show tomorrow. Oh, thank you. Yep, thank you for the question. Always like the questions. Yep, I'll be back. Potentially starting a new show this week or next week with, so it'll probably be with Noah Rubin and Michael Waterloo. I might alternate. I'm not sure. The idea is that because I get a lot of trade questions from people, like this trade has happened in my league or I've been offered this player for this player or these players. Who wins? Should I take the trade? So I get a lot of trade questions and they're tough to answer on the fly. So I thought, let's do a whole show dedicated to trades. So my idea is doing a show on a Friday afternoon. So it'll be about 3 p.m. Eastern in the States, 7 a.m. here in Australia, called Trade. Well, it'll still be Balls Deep, but it'll be called Trade Talk. And I will just go out on Twitter and Blue Sky probably the day before or 2 days before and just ask people to submit their trades. And whoever my guest is, we'll just go back and forth and talk about trades. So, yeah, we'll see. I just thought that might be a good idea. It's another excuse to do another show. So anyway, I will let people know. That will do for today's show. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I'm Adam King. This has been the Balls Deep post-game show. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.